This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The trial of Karen Reed continues on, and we're learning more and more about the holes that are trying to be poked in to the prosecution's case by the defense. That's their job. Poke, 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 and maybe we will get some sort of reasonable doubt. Maybe we'll spark the jury to think in a different way, that this person couldn't possibly have done it, because this one over here, this angry, horrible teenager who likes hockey, which is a violent sport, and posts about hockey, must be the culprit. It's getting strange. It's getting very strange. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Another weekend since we last talked. Obviously, that's some of the most recent testimony, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But what's your overall reaction to the last week?
I honestly, my number one reaction is my surprise at the order of proof that the prosecution is going in. In other words, the order that he's decided to present his case. I really am not trying to, you know, Monday morning quarterback, but it is to say, I wish they would have started chronologically with leaving the bar and then going into the tapes of Karen Reed screaming at John O'Keefe, yelling unpleasantries, saying how much she hated him, and then going into the forensics of where his phone was found, where the pieces of the taillight were found, the taillight being embedded in his clothing. I wish we would have started out with the case against Karen Reed. Mm-hmm. Instead, they have started out with the third-party culprits basically throwing all of this in initially. I mm-hmm. would have liked to see the case against Karen Reed and then the case against the third party culprit conspiracy theory all together, but the first half versus the second half. I feel like it's somewhat disjointed because they've decided to go in this manner. So they start out and they discredit that the dog Chloe could have killed John O'Keefe. So now we've moved on to a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dog, the no dog DNA found, but some pig DNA found. okay, you know, but still, it's like, and there really wasn't a lot of information on. Okay, well, where this was found on his clothing, there was no testing of actually John O'Keefe's body itself either. So, I mean, if you have pets and throughout the day and you give them a treat or something, I imagine there's probably pig DNA on me as well right now from giving a pig ear to a dog. It just seems so bizarre and weak. If you are the jury right now and you just have what's being presented to you, you somewhat got blinders on. The rest of us out here in the ether have seen every which way that this thing has gone. What do you think they're thinking right now?
I'm worried that they're a little confused. Mm-hmm. They're probably, so if you look right now at the evidence that Karen Reed committed this crime, you have her own assertions. I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, by three independent paramedics that were on scene. Mm-hmm. That have literally no reason to lie, no reason to make it up. They all have these long careers and have dedicated themselves to saving lives. So they come off very credible. You also have the police officer that says she exclaimed, it was my fault. Mm-hmm. It was my fault. So you have those strong statements. Now you have all these witnesses, one after another, saying John O'Keefe never entered the house. Mm-hmm. That is strong testimony to me, because if he didn't enter the house, then he was, you know, unfortunately dead right there. And it really wasn't right there, by the way. It was afterwards, right? Mm-hmm. He was pronounced dead in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I think that's strong testimony. There's also testimony that nobody saw him. Mm-hmm. And I think that can cut both ways. I think it cuts both ways because it doesn't make any sense. These witnesses would see him. It was cold. The stoops were icy. They testified they were looking down or looking at getting in their cars. It was freezing. The wind was blowing. We've all seen the tapes.
Yeah.
And so if they would have added that and all said that, obviously we'd be asking, well, why in the world was he left there? but it makes sense that they wouldn't see him. We have one witness that says she saw a black blob or item. She used the word blob at one point, but she herself testified, listen, I was drunk.
Yeah.
The thing that just screams to me is the veracity of all these witnesses. If they were coached, they're certainly not doing what their coach should have told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
One is calling his girlfriend high maintenance. The other one's saying she was drunk.
Yeah.
The other one's saying he can't remember. They're not coached. They're doing the best they can.
And they come across as extremely authentic. And if there's one thing that's difficult to do if you're acting and you're not an actor, is to be authentic. And they're all very authentic with their testimony. Nothing happened in the house, which appears nothing happened in the house. If Karen didn't hit him, the only other thought would be, well, did he slip and fall, hit his head, and then get up and fall again? I mean, that could be a possibility, but it doesn't wash away the taillight part of all of this. How are they going? That's like a really strong piece that links that vehicle to John O'Keefe and to Karen Reed. How are they going to get around that? Because there's a lot of just, you know, testimony that doesn't go anywhere.
No, you're right. And I think that's what the jury is asking, that very question. And that's why I wish they would have put front-loaded all of this evidence. There's his hair is on the bumper. His DNA is on the taillight pieces. The taillight pieces are embedded in his clothing. How about let's start there?
Yeah.
So this jury can get a clear picture that Karen hit him, as opposed to we're talking about dogs, we're discrediting 17-year-olds. It's so shotgun feeling.
Yeah.
And then I just hope they're not so bored and worn out. And that's what happens in trials. You know, your time to capture the jury's attention is at the very beginning and at the end.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm concerned with the order of proof.
I hope that they find a way to kind of put this all together as they get closer to wrapping up. But there's still a lot left to go in this case.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.